ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। चैप्टर 13, फाइव पोटेंट फॉर्म्स ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस। रूप गोस्वामी हैज स्टेटेड दैट फाइव काइंड्स ऑफ डिवोशनल एक्टिविटीज, नेमली रिजाइडिंग इन मथुरा, वर्शिपिंग द डीटी ऑफ द लॉर्ड, रिसाइटिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम, सर्विंग अ डिवोटी एंड चैंटिंग द हरे कृष्ण मंत्र आर सो पोटेंट दैट अ स्मॉल अटैचमेंट फॉर एनी वन ऑफ दिस फाइव आइटम्स कैन अरोज डिवोशनल एक्सटेसी इवन इन अ नियोफाइट। ओम हरे कृष्ण। इन द कंक्लूडिंग ऑफ द 12th चैप्टर रूप गोस्वामी स्पीक्स अबाउट how the holy name of the Lord can only be understood by rendering service, sevan mukhi jivado swayam eva spurit ada. Holy name will only manifest, or we can understand about the glories of the holy name, by actually rendering service, otherwise it is not possible. So in the 12th chapter, Rupa Goswami concludes the 64 items of devotional service, the limbs of devotional service. And then again, Srila Prabhupada, next chapter, the 13th chapter, he emphasizes about the potency of this five limbs of devotional service. And when Rupa Goswami was hearing from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the Dashashwamedha Ghat, Lord Chaitanya also spoke to Rupa Goswami about the potency of these five forms. He explained that Shakala Sadhana Srishta Ye Panchanga, Krishna Prema Janma Ye Panchalpa Sangha. That amongst all the limbs of devotional service, these are very powerful, these five limbs of devotional service. Chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra, associating with devotees, worshipping the deities, residing in Mathura, and studying Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of advanced devotees. And Rupa Goswami explains that even a neophyte means one who is newly practicing devotional service, if he continues to practice this process with slight faith, very quickly he attains perfection. And then Rupa Goswami elaborates on the every ang of this devotional service, these five limbs, wherein Rupa Goswami talks about worshipping the deity. He says, anyone who is attracted to this material world, he should not go on the bank of Jamuna. Why? Because Lord Shyam Sundar or Govinda Dev, he is standing with his flute and is curved in three places. And anybody has attachment to this material world, he should not go there. And then Rupa Goswami speaks about Srimad Bhagavatam, that even a person who is not wanting to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, if the Srimad Bhagavatam verses have traveled from the path of his ears, that is also accidentally, if they are gone from the path of his ears, then he also develops attachment. And the great things of this material world, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, becomes insignificant. So it appears that Rupa Goswami is condemning Krishna's seeing Krishna's form, saying that if you are attached to this material world, don't go to the bank of Ganga, don't go to the bank of Jamuna. This is called as, Rupa Goswami speaks about this as aprastuta prasamsha. Aprastuta prasamsha means that what is irrelevant has been spoken, and what is relevant appears to be given less importance. But it is a glorification of seeing the Lord's deities. Because people give importance to these items, Rupa Goswami says, yes, Krishna is so powerful. If you come close to Krishna, then naturally you'll become less attracted to the material things. That is what Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. Raso varjam raso pasya param drishtva nivartate. That one who comes in contact with the higher taste, it is not that he has to make a separate endeavor to give up the lower taste. He becomes attracted to the higher taste, automatically the lower taste are given up. And then Rupa Goswami speaks about how devotional service, especially all these five limbs, are so powerful. Even slight attachment, it may appear that it is too fantastic, or Rupa Goswami is exaggerating the power of these limbs. And Srila Prabhupada very brilliantly explains, it is not exaggeration, in fact it is a reality. Just like the four Kumaras, what they heard? They just saw the lotus, they saw Tulsi from the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. Sankshobhita Akshara Jusham, and immediately there was complete change in their consciousness. From being mere jnanis, they developed strong attachment to Krishna. Instantly this happened. And Prabhupada gives the example of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. He was hardcore materialistic, engaged in all kinds of sense gratification. He heard very little about Krishna indirectly. Immediately there was change of consciousness. So Prabhupada explains that there are instances where people have immediately experienced the change in the consciousness. Association of advanced devotee. In the previous chapter, Rupa Goswami explains, Tulayam lave napi na swarga na punarbhavam. Bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kim utashishaha. That even slight attachment, 1/12 of the second, if you come in contact with the devotee of the Lord, then compared to that association, you cannot compare with the benefits of being in the heavenly planets. What to speak of earthly planet where there is a repeated birth and death. So it may appear to be very exaggerated. Just like there is also a story when Ramanujacharya one time, he was going along with his disciples. He took his afternoon prasad and he was doing achman, cleansing his hand. And one drop of rice fell into Kaveri River. And suddenly one fish came out and grabbed that rice. And in the presence of all of his followers, that fish turned into 400 parshad of a Vishnu, became an attendant of Lord Vishnu and went back to the spiritual world. So everyone was shocked. How is this possible? That is the power of the association of devotee for 1 second. So Prabhupada explains, with many cases it happens that instantly one may experience change of consciousness. Even if it does not happen, if does not happen like that, still Prabhupada says one should be diverting one's attention from very exaggerated description of the material world. When somebody describes about this material world, advertising industries, television, newspaper, media, they also speak fantastic about materialistic life. So much of sense gratification is available. How do we give attention to them? Because we hear. We hear a lot about that. Therefore, just like many people come to Bombay expecting to become film stars. Why they hear? Life is so good if you become a film star. Somebody told me there are 5 crore young children wanting to become Sachin Tendulkar. It's not that automatically became famous because some media, some television gave all attention to that sports. Therefore, people want to become like that. Srila Prabhupada explains that if some ordinary people, by speaking again and again about something, they make it so relevant and very important. So to divert our attention from this fantastic description, this description, when we hear, we give attention to this description, what happens? Then we become attracted to this description and we practice our devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains to Arjun, Natat bhashayato suryo, na shashankana pavaka. Yadgatva nani vartante taddham parama mama. That in that world, in the spiritual world, there is no need of electricity. There is no need of moon and there is no need of sun. Why? Because it is self-illuminating. And then in Prabhupada writes that one should be captivated by the description of the spiritual world. One has to hear about something. We are captivated by the description of this material world, even though it is not real. Or we are captivated by the description of the spiritual world. We remember during the Russian communist time, even in small towns they would have exhibitions. We were not reading Prabhupada's books. We didn't hear the perception of Srila Prabhupada when he went to Russia. But in those exhibitions, I remember when I was very young, very close to our place, every year there would be Russian books exhibition. And how they would show it to everyone, that it's very nice. Everything is very flourishing, prosperous. There is a joke that one American visited a Russian family and he knocked on the door. And little girl opened and he asked her, "Where is your father?" And she said, "He's coming back at 12 o'clock, 38 minute and 48 second." He was amazed that such an precise accuracy of his return. He asked her, "Where does he work?" She said that he works for the space program of Russia. He said, "That is their timing." Then he asked, "Where is your mother? When she is going to come back?" No answer. He again insisted, "Why don't you tell when is your mother coming back?" She didn't answer. Then he insisted, "Why don't you tell?" She said, "She's standing on line to get some vegetables, so we don't know when she'll come back." People had to stand, Prabhupada writes, if you read in the Lilamrit, just to get their ration, just to get their daily requirement, they had to stand in line for long hours. Not that there was some problem, but the government had to divert their attention. There is a danger, there is a problem, so you be always under our control. So when our attention is diverted by propaganda, and they would do wonderful propaganda, Prabhupada explains, the whole communistic government started becoming prominent either in Russia or wherever they had their power, or even in India. Some places there is a communist government. How did they do that? By propagating their literatures. So therefore, when we hear the description of the spiritual world, it is not exaggeration. Even if you consider like that, there is no harm. Why? Because anyway, we are being attracted and tempted by the description of this material world. I remember, this was there in the BTG magazine, when one of our sannyasis, Vishnujan Maharaj, he would preach Krishna consciousness philosophy. And along with chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, he would sometime recite the shlokas of Brahma Samhita. What does Brahma Samhita speak about? Brahma Samhita speaks about the description of the spiritual world. And the last shloka talks about how every word in the spiritual world is song. Every walk is a dance. Everybody is faithful attendant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where all the cows are being served very nicely. So you chant Hare Krishna mantra and sing these verses and translate them in the public place. People would be gathering, hearing his Hare Krishna singing. He would distribute prasad. And then by hearing this description, he would raise, "Who wants to join this place?" And many people would be attracted by the description of the spiritual world. So therefore, Prabhupada explains that one should not take them to be exaggerated statement. They are realistic. And the devotee of the Lord, when he hears that, a practicing devotee, as we have discussed, sadhana bhakti means where there is a pressure. We do out of duty, out of fear, out of some kind of social pressure in the beginning. Oh, I should be doing it because we have been preached that if I don't chant, if I don't practice spirituality, then I have to suffer material existence or hellish existence. So just to avoid the hellish existence, to avoid the material misery, sometimes people come to spirituality. That means our spiritual life is dependent on some material situations. At least we are coming to Krishna, that is good. Krishna glorifies them also. But then one has to go beyond that. Like one time, when Prabhupada was speaking about the glories of the holy name, even if you chant once the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Ajamil chanted how many times? Only once. Narayan. And immediately was released from all kinds of sinful activities. So the question may be raised, if by chanting one time Hare Krishna, if I get so much of benefit, why chant more? Or Rupa Goswami explains, when you bow down in presence of the Lord in the temple, when somebody comes to the temple and he offers obeisances to the Lord, it cannot be compared to the sacrifices performed by a Brahmana or a Kshatriya, hundreds and thousands of Ashwamedha Yajna or Gomedha Yajna. Because even if you perform this sacrifice, there are all possibilities that you may have to come back to this material world. Again, repeated birth and death. But Rupa Goswami says, offering once obeisances to the Lord, it is guaranteed that one will go back to the spiritual world. It seems quite easy and nice that you offer one time obeisances to the Lord and continue practicing is all nonsense. No one who is practicing devotional service, he does not see like that. When he reads this description that by even offering once to Krishna, so much of benefit is there, why not offer regularly? How much more benefit will be there? So just to attract the sadhakas, the power of devotional service, the Shastra sometimes describe like that. It is not that it is not true. It is true also, as we discuss. With many, many cases, it is true. We may not be experiencing it. Oh, it's not, why it's not happening with me? No, the benefit we are getting. So therefore, rather than seeing it, okay, one time I'll offer, a devotee of the Lord wants to offer more and more, every day, 24 hours, worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And hearing the description about the spiritual world, hearing the glories of devotees, therefore Rupa Goswami explains, what is the qualification to practice these five limbs of devotional service? Slight attachment. Slight attachment means little faith. When we continue to practice the process of Krishna consciousness, with this understanding that this is going to work, even though we may not be doing it rightly as it is prescribed in the scripture, but if we continue to do, the process of Krishna consciousness is so powerful that it is going to work. Only thing we are not supposed to do is that stop practicing Krishna consciousness. Stop practicing these limbs of devotional service. Even though we don't feel to do it, even though there is no enthusiasm, we should follow these five limbs of devotional service. And that is the assurance given by Lord Chaitanya, who is the incarnation for this age. If we continue to do this process, within no time, one lifetime is actually no time. One lifetime is not a big time compared to our sinful activities. Being in this material for millions and trillions and billions of years, one lifetime is a no time. So therefore, what Rupa Goswami is saying is a reality. So Rupa Goswami explains that following these principles, and he glorifies the process of hearing, process of associating with devotees, the process of worshipping the Lord. We see those who perform devotional service, deity worship, one becomes very easily attached to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even a neophyte can experience the power of worshipping the Lord in his deity form. Even a small child can be attracted and spend so much of time to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are the five potent forms of devotional service. And Rupa Goswami concludes, there are 64 items. And then again he gives great hope that if somebody is not able to perform the 64 items of devotional service, they are called as aneka angas. Aneka anga means many, many limbs. If you cannot perform all the angas, then even if you perform one anga of the devotional service, even one anga, what is one anga means? Any one of the 64 items. And then he quotes, Parikshit Maharaj, what did he do? He performed one anga of devotional service. He simply heard about Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami, what he did do? He just simply spoke about Krishna. Bali Maharaj, he was not a devotee also, in one sense. He was a demon. He wanted to capture everything. He wanted to become the emperor of the entire creation. But he did one anga. He performed one devotional service. He offered whatever he had in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore we see, Akrura, he just offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Rupa Goswami says, if we cannot practice all the limbs of devotional service, at least perform one anga. But if you can perform more angas of devotional service, that is much better. And he gives the example of Ambarish Maharaj. Savayamana Krishna Padara Vindayor Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varanane. That Ambarish Maharaj, even as the king, he engaged all of his limbs, all of his bodily limbs, in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His mind was absorbed in thinking of Krishna's lotus feet. His hands were absorbed in cleansing the temple. His legs were absorbed in visiting the holy place of the Lord. His ears were absorbed in hearing about Krishna. His eyes were absorbed in seeing the deity form of the Lord. His nose was absorbed in receiving the nice fragrant smell of flowers and incense. And his sense of touch was absorbed in embracing the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, he engaged all of his limbs in performing aneka anga. And one devotee was mentioning, those who are the sadhakas of ISKCON, those who are practicing devotional service, Prabhupada introduced as many angas as possible. As many angas as possible. Sometime it may happen that we may not be able to chant Hare Krishna at the time of death, but we may see the tulsi. Rupa Goswami explains that ropita, sevita, pujita, if somebody plants the tulsi, somebody sees the tulsi. In India we see that even non-devotees, general Hindus, what do? They have tulsi plant. We discuss this. So if somebody sees tulsi at the time of death, he attains perfection. Reading of the scriptures. We have read this in our flash. One time one of our devotees had gone for book distribution. That is another limb of devotional service. Sometimes we jokingly say that, you know, people have Bhagavad Gita, but they keep as it is without reading it. Even that worshipping of Bhagavad Gita in one's place, Rupa Goswami glorifies that act also. If somebody keeps Bhagavad Gita in his home and worships it, he is also advancing in spiritual life. Of course, we don't want to stop only on that level. We want to make further progress. So one time in our book distribution party went to some place. And our devotee approached a manager and he was a Christian. So they realized that now we are not going to get any permission. How will he allow us to distribute books? But when this person saw this devotee, he became very happy. He said, yes, you can organize book distribution. You can distribute in our company, but you can also come to our colony. And this devotee was surprised, said, how is that you are allowing us? Then he told the story. That one man in their colony was about to pass. And somehow that his son had heard that if somebody is passing, you should read Bhagavad Gita. And that boy had no Bhagavad Gita in his home. And in the night, he started knocking on people's doors, asking for Bhagavad Gita. And unfortunately, most Hindus had no Bhagavad Gita. And this young man, with great hopelessness, losing all hope, he felt that what is the use of approaching this Christian? How in the world he will have Bhagavad Gita? But then when you became hopeless, when actually a person is hopeless and is desperate, what does he do? Even though he knows it is a hopeless condition, he knocks on. There is a hope against hope. That is another principle also of devotional service. So even though he was hopeless, completely assured that I am not going to get Bhagavad Gita, but because he has this intense desire to read for his father, he knocked on the door of this Christian. And he said, look, my father is about to die. I want to read for my father. And he had two Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he took one, he read for his father while reading the Bhagavad Gita. When hearing the Bhagavad Gita, he left his body. So he told his story and he said, let everybody have Bhagavad Gita in their home, so that such situation may not arise. So the point is, the power of bhakti is so great. Rupa Goswami concludes the sadhana bhakti, 64 items, that either you perform one anga or you perform all the 64 items. And Srila Prabhupada, within our society, for those who are practicing devotee, has given many, many facilities to practice many angas of devotional service. We chant Hare Krishna, we are asked to read Srimad Bhagavatam, we are asked to associate with devotees, we visit the holy place, we come and worship the Lord, either directly or by seeing the Lord, like celebrating Pushyabhishek, Sharad Purnima, that is also one of the limb of celebrating different festivals. So many items are automatically followed by those who come in contact with this society. More than one anga. And then Rupa Goswami speaks about, in the next chapter, devotional qualification. What is the qualification to practice devotional service? This is again discussed in the fifth chapter, the purity of devotional service. This is little different, but some points are repeated. Rupa Goswami speaks about, some scholars say that to become a devotee of the Lord, Jnana and Vairagya is important. One has to have the analytical mind to understand the scripture. One should analyze and understand every bit of the scripture. And some say that along with Jnana, Vairagya also has to be there. Without detachment, one cannot advance in spiritual life. One cannot become a devotee. That means, devotional service, it appears that they are connecting that unless you have these two things, you cannot become devotee. So Rupa Goswami is introducing this subject to make it again clear that Jnana and Vairagya may be okay in the beginning, just to have a nice footing in devotional service. But they are not required. Devotional service is independent. And Prabhupada writes that what do you need to perform devotional service? Only sentiment or desire for such service. It requires nothing more than sincerity. Nothing more than sincerity. The attitude of devotee. We have the story of Bali Maharaj. He was not a devotee. He didn't practice this process. Only when Vamandev came to his place, sincerely offered whatever he had to the Lord. And because of doing it, he got such a benediction. He explains that in the conclusion of the whole pastimes of Vamandev. That when you came in the arena, I did not even directly offer you obeisances. Rather, in the mind I offered obeisances. And so much a benefit, just even offering obeisances within the mind. What to speak of directly rendering service. So Prabhupada explains that what requires is one sincerity to practice devotional service. Jnana and Vairagya is not required. In fact, if there is too much of detachment, Rupa Goswami introduced this subject. If there is too much of detachment, what does it do? It makes one's heart hard. Detachment means trying to avoid oneself from the object of the senses. When we start avoiding from the object of the senses, it so happens that even those who are close and near to us, we start avoiding their association, thinking that they are also cause of our attachment to this material world. And what is one of the principle of devotional service? The original description of bhakti ras, which we read in the preface, rasa means relationship. So if we don't have the art of relationship, we have avoided all relationship, then that makes our heart hard. Even if we see some disaster, even if we see something, our heart does not melt. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, bhakti swabhava sukumarasya. The nature of bhakti is that it is very sukumal, very, very soft. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita purport, when Arjuna was lamenting, he would not want to fight against his own relatives. Prabhupada calls both weakness of the heart, and he also says, because Arjuna was a great devotee, it was natural for Arjuna to see their disaster. He was compassionate. So therefore Rupa Goswami says that detachment can cause hard-heartedness. The story was told. One Sri Vaishnava Sannyasi told this story. One time one man, he came running. This is a true story. This happened in South India. One man came running to one sannyasi. He said, "My dear Swamiji, I just lost my wife. And even though she died, I didn't cry. I didn't lament. That means I'm very detached from this material world. So please award me sannyas." So then sannyasi again said, "Oh, this is your qualification?" "Yes, this is my qualification, that even though very near and dear one, I lost her, but I didn't cry." And then the sannyasi said, "Oh, go and get remarried." He was shocked. "Why are you saying like this?" And the sannyasi said, "Because if you don't cry for your own wife, how will you cry for other living entities? A devotee means he has to cry for other living entities suffering. And he has to cry for Krishna. If you have not developed this quality, how will you doubt your qualities for crying to Krishna?" So therefore, softness is the natural characteristic of bhakti. And if too much of detachment and jnana is there, too much of jnana and too much of detachment makes one's heart very hard. Detachment includes austerities also. So therefore Rupa Goswami says, that is not prerequisite to practice devotional service. That is not a qualification. Instead, it's a disqualification. Purity is there of externalities, but the compassionate part is not there. So that purity is also contamination. Why? It makes our heart very hard. And then he introduces another very powerful subject. If the detachment is a problem, then what? How do we handle the whole thing in this material world? Is it that we are attached to everything? Then he introduced the concept wherein the detachment is involved, but it does not make our heart hard. And that is called as Yukta Vairagya. Rupa Goswami introduced the subject of Yukta Vairagya. That detachment, but which does not make our heart very hard. What is this Yukta Vairagya? Yukta Vairagya means Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagya Muchyate. Whatever object is there in this material world, it has to be seen from Krishna's vision. It has to be seen as everything, cause and effect, happens because of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Yukta Vairagya means using everything in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore a devotee of the Lord, that is also art of Krishna consciousness. What is art of Krishna consciousness? A devotee does not reject anything. Rather, he uses everything in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada gave a very brilliant example. One sannyasi, he would not touch money. By touching money, he would act as if he's been, you know, electrified. He's getting a shock. And Prabhupada said, "No, if somebody gives me money, before they give, I'll grab it. Why? So that I can use in the service of the Lord." Like one time, an industrialist came to Srila Prabhupada. And he was saying, "Swamiji, I'm so burdened by everything. I'm burdened. You know, I've got everything, but still I'm miserable." Prabhupada said, "Give your address." He was shocked. "Why is he asking about my address?" Prabhupada said, "Give your address and turn over all your wealth to our ISKCON society. Because you are burdened by your wealth, but I know the art of using everything in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So Prabhupada explains, if one has the desire to eat nice palatable dishes, it is not that he has to force himself, "No, I am not going to eat it." We have seen many times those who are practicing devotees, sometime out of the enthusiasm, uninformed enthusiasm, he is not informed from the scriptures. So takes many vows. "I will not do this, I will not do that, I will give up eating this, I will give up eating that." And because it is not based on proper renunciation, at the end when he breaks the vow, with interest whatever for 15 days, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months he has not eaten, he finishes off within few days. Why? Because it is not grounded in proper philosophy. So Prabhupada explains, very simple example he gives. If you want to eat something nicely, a devotee of the Lord will not eat what is not offered to Krishna. If he wants to eat Jai Halwa, then he'll make it, offer it to Krishna. And when you eat what you want to eat, but you have offered it to Krishna, that becomes Yukta Vairagya. And what is Falgu Vairagya? Falgu Vairagya means giving up everything which can be used in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as useless. That means the Mayavadis, the impersonalist Prabhupada gives the example of the Mayavadis. They give up everything as if as Maya, but eventually again they come back to mundane platform. They become philanthropists. They become political party leaders. If you have given up everything as mundane, why you engage back in these mundane activities? Because they have not learned the art of utilizing everything in the service of the Lord. Rather, they have given up everything. In fact, Jayadvait Maharaj is mentioning, devotees practice Yukta Vairagya and impersonalists practice incomplete Vairagya. In fact, they practice too complete Vairagya. Their renunciation is too complete. Why? They renounce Krishna also. They renounce Krishna and they renounce anything which belongs to Krishna. And in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Prabhupada explains, even the rocket ship and missiles can be used in the service of the Lord. Arjuna did like that. Prabhupada gives how within the society of Krishna consciousness, all items are used. Typewriter is used, sound system is used, nice big buildings are used. And Prabhupada raises the question. You may ask this question, how is that you devotees are against material civilization? How is that you are using everything? Prabhupada says, our vision is that everything belongs to Krishna. And that is the proper vision of Krishna consciousness. Just like during the Mahabharata time, when Arjuna and Krishna were helping Agni to devour the Khandava forest. Because Agni was always fed with ghee in the fire sacrifice, he had a digestion problem. Everybody has a digestion. There is a fire within our stomach. And if we eat too much of ghee, our fire becomes very weak. If we eat undigesting food, then the fire becomes weak. You have to revive that fire. So there is a system in Ayurveda. You can revive your fire. So Agni also wanted to revive his fire. So he approached Krishna and Arjuna. He said, whenever I try to consume something, Indra is obstructing. Indra is creating an obstruction. So you help me out. So the Lord helped. Arjuna and Krishna helped Agni to devour the forest fire. And one demon was running away from there. Mayadhana was running away. Indra was about, Agni was about to devour him and Krishna was about to release his Sudarshan Chakra. But he was very intelligent. What Mayadhana did was, he quickly took shelter of Arjuna. He said, please protect me. So whenever there is some danger, even from Krishna, then take shelter of devotees. Then devotee protects him. So Krishna stopped killing. And then Mayadhana became very happy. He said, my dear Arjuna, you have saved me. What should I do for you? I can do anything for you. Arjuna said, I don't want anything from you. Why should I accept anything from a demon? And moreover, if I accept anything from you, then my service which I have rendered becomes useless. It becomes like an exchange. But I want to continue to feel that I have rendered some service to you. So better you don't give me anything, rather you offer something to Krishna. And then Mayadhana turned to Krishna. I said, my dear Lord, what can I do for you? Krishna thought for a moment. Now Dana, whatever Dana creates, it is explained that this Mayadhana was the architect of the demons. The demigods, they are more familiar with the Mantra Vidya. They also have the Yantra Vidya. And the demons are more familiar with the Yantra Vidya and less with Mantra Vidya. They use gross machines. So it is explained that Mayadhana is the founder of all yantras. He was expert in that. So Kali Yuga, it is explained, Kali Yuga is the age of not Mantra Vidya but Yantra Vidya. So it is not the sign of advancement, it is the sign of, you know, being empowered by some lesser entities. So when Mayadhana approached Krishna, Krishna did not reject his proposal. Even though it was made by a Danav. He said, okay, you come and create a beautiful palace for the Pandavas and can be used in the service of the Pandavas. So under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Pandavas used that yantra in the service of the Lord. That is the beginning of Yukta Vairagya, taught by Krishna himself. So therefore, even though these machines and other items are created by non-devotees, they may create harm, but it all depends upon who is utilizing it. And that's how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he revolutionized the whole concept of religion. Before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, within the Vedic culture, the religion was not so much institutionalized. It was all very spontaneous. You practice your devotion, I practice my devotion, we can meet sometime. There was no system. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the first acharya. He totally revolutionized the whole concept of religion. He made an institution. And he started using everything in the service of the Lord. As a sannyasi, he was the first sannyasi to wear sovan clothes, stitch clothes. They would not wear. He started wearing shoes. He started traveling on a nice vehicle. In fact, it is said that in Calcutta, only two people had this big car. One was the governor of Bengal and second was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He had the ability to use everything in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He did not reject anything. And similarly, Srila Prabhupada utilized. One time one reporter asked him, Swamiji, you are a monk and you are supposed to be living a simple life. How is that you are always traveling jet? You are called as a jet Swami. Jet age Swami. And Srila Prabhupada gave a very brilliant example. He said, just like there is a rule, the government makes a rule, that one should not drive more than 80 kilometers per hour. That is a rule one has to follow. Everybody has to follow. But if a robber is driving and he has gone far away and the police start chasing him, what they will do? Will they follow this rule of driving 80 kilometers per hour? They will drive faster than the robbers so that they can catch them. Then you will not hold them responsible for breaking the law. In fact, you will glorify them. Similarly, Prabhupada said, the whole material civilization is running because of these machines with greater speed to fall into hell. So as a representative of God, I need to go faster than them. So therefore, I have to utilize all of these things in the service of the Lord to save all of you. And the reporter was satisfied. So again, then Srila Prabhupada warns us. It is not that in the name of Yukta Vairagya, a devotee of the Lord does not follow the regulative principle of devotional service. In the name of Yukta Vairagya, does not indulge in sense gratification. Rather, he makes his foundation very strong in devotional service. And then he utilizes everything in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that Yukta Vairagya and Falgu Vairagya, when it is practiced properly, then devotional service becomes very nice. Then Rupa Goswami concludes this part of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is the second wave, in fact the third wave, no, second wave of devotional service of the eastern division of the ocean, saying that sadhana bhakti is called as maryada marga. Maryada marga means what? It is, there is a restriction to practice devotional service, or there is some kind of pressure. And Rupa Goswami also says that sadhana bhakti is worship of the Lord in opulence. A devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is practiced with opulence. When somebody approaches the Supreme Lord, there is reverence. It is not that one is unrestrictedly, spontaneously attracts or worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in the previous chapters we read, Rupa Goswami explains that practicing devotional service under the guidance of the Shastra, Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatrik Vidimvina, Aikantika Harir Bhaktir, Utpate Vahi Kalpate. That the sadhaka does not practice his devotional service whimsically. He practices devotional service according to the scriptures and according to the instructions of the previous acharyas and the present spiritual master. Under their guidance, one time somebody was telling Srila Prabhupada, this is our experience. Prabhupada said, we don't give any damn importance to experience. We care for shastras. What does the shastra say? If it is the definition of the shastra, then we follow that. You may have so many experiences. Or you may have the perception of different experiences. But what is our understanding? Following the shastra. So, Vaidhi Bhakti, by definition itself, Vaidhi means following the shastra. So when we practice devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, under the guidance of the shastras, under the guidance of the previous acharyas, in proper regulation, then that devotional service is called as sadhana bhakti. And that's what Rupa Goswami concludes. Then he speaks about next raganuga bhakti. What is raganuga bhakti? Raganuga bhakti is spontaneous attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are two kinds of sadhana bhakti. One is Vaidhi sadhana and second is Vaidhi raganuga bhakti. And Prabhupada gives a definition of raganuga bhakti as that in the beginning one may not have natural attraction to follow all the program of devotional service. He forces himself to chant. He forces himself to come to the association of devotees. He forces also to himself to eat Krishna prasad. Sometimes he is forced to dance also. But then when he continues to practice this process of Krishna consciousness, then without any force, he develops natural attraction to practice the process. He automatically comes in the association of devotees. He likes to attend Mangalarti. He likes to hear Krishna katha. So Prabhupada defines that as raganuga bhakti for practicing devotees. And then Srila Rupa Goswami explains this raganuga bhakti means, first it defines what is raganuga. Raganuga means, anuga means following. Raga means intense absorption. So whom does the raganuga devotees follow? The raganuga devotees follow in the footsteps of the Brijbasis. They are called as ragatmika. Ragatmika means whose very essence is attachment to Krishna. Their very essence is attachment to Krishna. Like the Brijbasis, the parents of Krishna, the friends of Krishna, the servants of Krishna, the lovers of Krishna. It is not that they are supposed to be forced to practice. One time Narad Muni came to Vrindavan. And when he came to Vrindavan, he saw that some gopis were performing meditation. He was shocked. How is that? Gopis are being brainwashed to perform something lower form of spiritual practices. He said, why are you doing this? And the gopi said that Krishna is overwhelmingly conquering our heart. And because of that, we cannot perform our duties properly. Again, this is the indirect praise of Krishna. And because we cannot perform our duties, he has conquered our heart like a hook. It does not go out of our heart. So we are performing meditation so that we can take out Krishna from our heart. Exactly opposite of us. When we chant Hare Krishna, people always complain. We always complain that whenever I sit for chanting, other than chanting, I can think of everything. We heard that story of chimpanzee. When he was told not to think of chimpanzee, he was thinking of chimpanzee. When he was told to think of chimpanzee, then he was not thinking. Similarly, when we are told to chant Hare Krishna and concentrate on the holy name, our mind goes in all places except the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. That is the difference between raganuga bhakta and sadhaka. Sadhaka may be conscious of his sadhana. He may be conscious of his 16 rounds. He may be conscious of seeing the deities regularly. He may be conscious of reading his Bhagavad Gita. He is careful, I should read this much every day. But even though he is conscious of all of this sadhana, there is no guarantee that he is conscious of Krishna. And raganuga bhakta, he is conscious of Krishna and he may not be conscious of the process. He may not be attentive to practice all the rules and regulation. Because he got the essence of all the practice. What is the essence of all the practice? Smartavyam satatam Vishnu vismartavya jatuchi. He is always remembering Krishna and he is never forgetting Krishna. He can never forget Krishna. It becomes an overwhelming reality for such a devotee of the Lord. So those who follow in the footsteps of these devotees, those essence is Krishna, those who are called as Raganuga Bhaktas. It is not that they imitate a process where Prabhupada would say, he talks about Siddha Pranali, that there are some Sahaja class of people, they give you your identity. Okay, you become a peacock. You dress yourself as a gopi. And then meditate upon your activities. I was a gopi, I was a peacock. One time one devotee, you know, he was acting as if he was a peacock. And he was stopped by devotees that you cannot artificially attain this stage. Raganuga means, Prabhupada explains, it spontaneously happens. It is not that you artificially try to become attracted to Krishna. By practicing sadhana bhakti, as Rupa Goswami explains, by practicing the five angs of devotional service, at some point of time, this spontaneous attraction for Krishna arises. It awakens within our heart. And with that consciousness, with that awakened consciousness, then devotional service becomes much easy. And Ragatmika Rupa Goswami explained there are two kinds. One is Sambandha Rupa and one is Kama Rupa. Kama Rupa also Sambandha Rupa, but to give the importance of how the love of gopis is the highest, Rupa Goswami separates it. And then Srila Prabhupada again writes to explain the difference between the lusty feeling of this material world and the affection of the gopis, which apparently appears to be mundane love affair. And he quotes the example of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is he? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He came to establish religious principle for this age of Kali by distributing the holy name all over the world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And he preached whatever he practiced. His practice and his preaching was so strong. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to preach Krishna consciousness, he accepted sannyas at the age of 24. And he followed sannyas very, very strictly. But what did he praise? He praised the activities of Krishna's pastime with the gopis. Sukadeva Goswami explains to Parikshit Maharaj that anybody who is affected by feelings of this world, the materialistic feeling, then what he should do? He should hear the glorious pastimes of Lord Krishna with the residents of Vrindavan. That is the difference. When we hear mundane stories, we don't become purified. We become more putrefied. But when we hear Krishna's pastime, what does it do? It cleanses our heart. It purifies our heart. Prabhupada in the introduction of Krishna book, he explains this. That how this Krishna book is meant for everybody. Those who are liberated, they can get benefit. Those who are practicing devotees, they can get benefit. And even those who are materialistic people, those who are attracted by lusty feeling, even they can read. Why? Because it makes sense to them. Because they are always hearing, they are always acting on this platform. And they hear Krishna and Srimati Radharani's pastime, they feel, oh, it is also like mundane. But when they hear under the guidance of a pure devotee, then what happens? All of their lusty feelings are destroyed. So Prabhupada makes it very clear that this activities of the gopis is not mundane. It is transcendental. It is spiritual. Therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised. And Srila Rupa Goswami himself, they were the great renunciates also. And all of the essence of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu points at, or it concludes at the devotion of the Braj Gopis of Vrindavan. Their devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is not simply an entertaining past. It is not entertaining activities. Rather, it is the deep devotion of the gopis to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Rupa Goswami explained, those who follow in the footsteps, making Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda or Gopis as their example and following in their footsteps while practicing the sadhana bhakti. What is Vaidhiraganuga? Vaidhiraganuga means that even if he has developed attachment to Krishna internally, he does not stop practicing his sadhana bhakti. Sometimes we say, oh, we don't need to chant 16 rounds. I'm being there since many years. Now we are concentrating on the confidential pastimes of the Lord. That is more important. Sadhana is not important. But that is not the definition of Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti is defined by Rupa Goswami as that while contemplating of his service internally, he continues to practice the external sadhana. To the extent, like Sanatana Goswami, even in his old age, what was he doing? He didn't stop circumambulating Govardhan Hill. That was part of his sadhana. In fact, it is explained that he would not drink even one drop of water unless he would go around Govardhan. Unless he would complete his rounds. So all these great Goswamis, they set an example how to practice Raganuga Bhakti. They continue to practice their sadhana bhakti very, very scrutinizingly, very diligently, and at the same time, they practice their devotional service of complete attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So such Raganuga Bhakti will eventually lead to ecstatic symptoms of Bhava Bhakti. So in our next week, we'll conclude our study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the first 19th chapter, by discussing the Bhava Bhakti and the Prema Bhakti. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. The story was told that the gentleman was turned away because he didn't cry for his wife. Mm. Now that means he was not attached to his wife.
Yes.
And now that seems to be a patient mode of the material nature, where that patient mode becomes little impediment in the devotion. As a matter of fact, this attachment, detachment and renunciation, they all become confusing in all these things, that what particularly the thing was required, what quality was required when he didn't cry for his wife. And then the roop devotion and the relation devotion. Suppose I go to a temple and I see the deity of Lord Krishna, and I all of a sudden feel, oh my God, what a beauty. And I fall in love with Krishna. And I fall in love with the deity. And then I become a devotee and go into the devotion. And I am not thinking of any relation, that he is a creator and I am created. Whereas the other side, that I only know the relation. I am worshipping Krishna and I am loving Krishna because I know the relation that he is the creator and I am the created. Which one is more important?
If I understood you rightly, again, the point we were making, because Rupa Goswami explains that too much of gyan and too much of detachment, renunciation, makes one's heart very hard. And bhakti is by nature sukumarasya bhakti. The quality, the nature of bhakti is, it is very soft. So you have made your heart very hard, then it is very difficult to learn the art of being attracted to Krishna. Rupa Goswami explains, in the future top chapters of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one impersonalist is confessing that it has become so difficult for me to develop attraction for Krishna. Why? Because I had not developed any relationship with anyone. So part of attachment to Krishna means what? We discussed that the definition of Shuddha Bhakti is that Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmad Anavratam Anukulena Krishnanushilanam Bhakti Ruttanam. What does Prabhupada define Krishna as? He doesn't define Krishna as only Krishna. Only Krishna means Mayavad. Krishna includes Krishna's incarnation. Krishna includes Krishna's paraphernalia. Krishna includes his devotees also. So therefore, the natural affection, like the story of Arjuna crying for his son, Abhimanyu, when he died. Now Krishna was there, right next to Arjuna. Now when he had the Supreme Lord next to him, crying of Arjuna must be considered as materialistic from that point of view. Why should he cry? He should have pacified himself. Oh, I have Krishna, why should I cry? But Prabhupada explained, somebody asked this question to Prabhupada, why is that Abhimanyu, when he was killed, Arjuna, even though hearing of Bhagavad Gita, still he was crying? Prabhupada said, that is natural. But his service did not stop. That is the test of a devotee. To have sentiments is very important. If you don't have those sentiments, if we remain desensitized in the situation where there is a need for us to express, that means we have something wrong. We have to express. Not that we artificially, it has to happen. But at the same time, our service does not stop. So this man considered his qualification because he was not crying for his wife. So that he considered as a qualification to practice spirituality. That is not a qualification. Ramanujacharya, another story. Ramanujacharya, when he saw this Dhanurdas, who was attached to one lady, who was not his wife also, he was attached to her eyes. He was willing to do anything for her. He was so attracted by her eyes. And how did Ramanujacharya turn into a devotee? He said, oh, he has this quality of being attracted to something, Krishna's energy. He's attracted to these eyes and so much service he is doing. If I show him the eyes of Krishna, then it's very easy for me to doubt his propensity. Just change his attention from the eyes of the ladies to Krishna's eyes. Because he was already doing it. And he was successful in that. And it is not that he broke up. He married her and both of them they practiced devotional service. So the point is that these qualities are very important. Being sensitive, being loved for. Recently Dhanurdhara Maharaj was explaining. Even if sometime when we come to devotional service, if there is a background of not being cared for, not being loved for, then even when we come to devotional service, sometime there is a feeling of loneliness if it does not change himself by accepting the process of Krishna consciousness. So part of the process of Krishna consciousness has to make us, our heart soft. If you see some sin, if you see some wrong being done by, if there are no change in our heart, no, that is not a very high standard. There has to be change. We have to experience those feelings. Therefore, all our acharyas, Sanatan Rupa Goswami, in fact, there is a statement by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when you see the suffering of this conditioned soul, it is not that you condemn them. When Prabhupada went to West, he would condemn the philosophy, not people's sinful activities. He would be compassionate to them. So therefore, that is very important principle. Therefore, Rupa Goswami introduced this subject that vairagya without softening the heart is very risky and dangerous. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, such a great acharya, it is said that he would come to the Brahmacharya ashram, seeing if the Brahmacharis are not using mosquito net, because in those time in Bengal, Mayapur would be still now, many mosquitoes are there. He would come there. If they are sleeping without any blanket, he would put a blanket on them. Why should he do that? He's a great acharya. Why should he care for their body? But that is the character of a devotee. So therefore, how do you judge that my attachment is material or not? So when there are reversal with your family members, if there is some problem, then you don't divert. You don't say that, okay, because this happened, you know, I'm very attached, I'm crying. No, your services for Krishna should not be diverted. You continue to serve even though you may express your feeling for your family members. That is required to express feelings. Not expressing one's feeling is a sign of big hard-heartedness. But your service does not stop. You continue to render service to Krishna. That is the point. Anybody else has any?
The relation and the loop.
Relation?
If I fall in love with Krishna because I find him beautiful.
Yeah.
Or I know the relation that He is the creator and I am the created. Which is more important in that?
Now again, falling in love in Krishna means also Prabhupada explains, we are not after knowing Krishna, because we cannot know Krishna, because Krishna is beyond knowing. Our process is to fall in love with Krishna, and in falling in love with Krishna, we also know Him. Loving includes knowing, but knowing does not include loving. Loving includes knowing. So the whole process is that when we fall, of course, falling in love with Krishna is a very high thing. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki. I will stop here and we'll discuss next week. Hare Krishna.